are going to the Western Hotline, where media mogul himself, Martin Baron, is standing by. Good morning, Mr. Baron. Happy day before Thanksgiving.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday before Thanksgiving. That's, you know, the best day to go out and party, Howard. I hope you enjoy it.
Every day for me, Marty, is the best day to party, if you know. That's how I roll, man.
Well, I know that, but still, this is the day where you really go out hard and you you stay up all night.
I'll see you out after the game.
Marty.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Marty, there are a little bit of chatter about this team reminding people of 05-06. I don't necessarily agree with that outside of the winning and the fun. That 05-06 team started out around 500, 8-9-1, and then Ryan Miller gets hurt, and then you go in and win a million games in a row, right? How many was it?
It was 13 starts in a row, but I did lose a game in the middle of it.
In a shootout? Overtime.
And then played a game against the New York Rangers, and then he got hurt at the end of the third period, and when overtime was over, he could barely stand. He played the first shooter in the shootout, and I believe it was Martin Straka. And then after that shot, Lindy was like trying to get the referee's attention to get me in. But really, you can't change goalie in the middle of a shootout unless it's an injury. But Mika Noronen didn't show any signs of injury before that point. So the referee was hesitant to make a change. I went in. I got beat by Jaromir Jagr and by Michael Nylander, and then we lost that game in a shootout. But I hadn't started that game, so it didn't really count against the streak of consecutive starts. 1-13, it was definitely a lot of fun.
13 in a row. What was it like being around the team at that point? I mean, you guys had not had sustained success really at any point. You know, you have a lockout season, you come back from that, you get off to a middling start, and then go on that crazy, crazy tear.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, but it was one of those where I remember it became really, really hard mentally to keep it going. Like, I had my superstitions and I had my routine, and everybody does, but by 12 and 13, it's like you're possessed by those superstitions, and you are so programmed that you're not even human anymore. You're a computer. You're going to the games, and you know you're doing exactly the same thing. And Lindy was a very superstitious coach as well, so everything was the same. Every day was the same. And I remember when we lost the 14th game, it was one of those where, whew, you breathe a little. You're like, okay, now we're back to just playing and just be normal. Not that you want to lose a game ever, but I remember after 13 in a row when we lost, it gave us a feel like the feeling of normalcy again, and not just like one of those that we were on the cloud and things were going so great.
With the 05-06 team, I was curious about this. Okay. Turns out you guys were legit, okay? I mean, I know you weren't. Eventually you get traded, but the next season they win the President's Trophy. With this team, Marty, I guess with that team, you guys, I was looking it up. So you're a little over 500 at the 21-game mark. And then you have a stretch where, you guys won 12 of 13 games. And I'm assuming you start looking around at each other going, hey, we're really good. How much is there to that? Is this team going through the, well, I don't know, we thought we were going to be better, we're not sure how good we are, hey, look, six straight, come from behind wins, blah, blah, blah. How much is there to that, guys looking around and actually thinking, believing, hey, we could be really good?
Well, it's when we started beating good teams. When you start winning against good teams, and then you don't just win one game against a good team, you win a second game against another good team, and then all of a sudden, you get that streak going, then you start believing that you're good. And the way that we did it, there was a lot of young guys that got called up and young guys that played a big role. So this is where I think there's a big difference between the 05-06 team and this team. I know that the expectations weren't high, and so that's the same thing. I know that it was fun, and there was a feeling of, oh, my goodness, we've been – you know, bad for so many years now, especially in 05-06 with the bankruptcy and change of ownership and all of that. So that was fun too. But if there was five guys from Rochester, yes, five young guys from Rochester getting called up at some point in the next, month or two, and they played a big role, then I would say, yes, it's very similar to what it was, 13 years ago. But because this group of players right now were put together, you know, this summer, and were, you know, Jason Buttrell and Phil Housley, they're patient with a lot of guys. I think it has a completely different feel to it. Not to say that it's not the right approach, because, you know, we all know now in the National Hockey League, you have to be able to develop players. It's really different than it was even in the early to mid 2000s. So I'm okay with them saying, okay, well, Pilot is going to play in Rochester, and Olofsson is in Rochester, and Nylander is in Rochester, mm-hmm. to a certain extent. So I think that's a big difference to what 05-06 was.
Marty, which player right now has you buzzing about them?
Well, obviously Skinner is one of those that I did not really have any expectation this year for Jeff Skinner, because I hate to give an easy out to a player and say, oh, well, this situation in Carolina was not good, he wanted out, you know, and then you kind of make excuses for that player instead of saying, hey, you need to be better, you need to work harder, you need to, you know, buy into a team concept. So for me, I really did not know what to expect out of Jeff Skinner. And what has me buzzing out of Jeff Skinner is not so much, you know, the goals and his contributions, is how hard he works in the offensive zone. And I know, you know, 200-foot players, you know, that's a phrase that's being thrown around a lot. And there's a very few 200-foot players in the National Hockey League that excels in all three zones. So I'm not going to ask Jeff Skinner to be Patrice Bergeron in the defensive zone, but I'm not going to, you know, give him a free pass for just wanting to score goals and sit in the slot and let guys work hard for him to get results. He gets results. He goes after pucks. He is good on the forecheck. He never stops moving. He's got a good active stick. He's got a little chip on his shoulder. So he's got me buzzing, and I think that the performances and the stats are just a bonus out of that for him and the team.
Rasmus Dahlin, Marty, let's talk the last three games in particular, okay? Rough night in Winnipeg, really strong game in Minnesota, up and down a little bit in Pittsburgh. Give me, how would you classify in totality the last three games for the rookie?
Well, I think you pointed it right. It's been a bit of a up and down roller coaster kind of week for Rasmus Dahlin, but the one constant, the one consistent data out of Dahlin is that Phil Housley has a ton of confidence in Rasmus Dahlin, and he puts him out there. He just doesn't care if Dahlin goes out in the first period and has four giveaways and gets burned wide by a player. He's going to put him out there again, and that is so good for mm-hmm. the development of a young defenseman. Not to play with handcuffs, not to play scared, not to just say, hey, I got to throw it off the glass and out because I don't want to be the guy that makes a mistake because I won't see the ice again. And, you know, because the NHL is not about, you know, just being safe anymore. It's about wanting to make plays. It's about trying to hit a guy with, you know, that's got speed down the neutral zone and hit him with a perfect pass, so that you can create some offense. And I think, you know, you guys probably talked about it. The football game Monday night was a really perfect, you know, indication of young players like Pat Mahomes and Jared Goff or whatever, making mistakes, but sticking with the game plan. And then in the end, making it just an amazing game. I think Rasmus Dahlin, he's being handled the same way. And I absolutely love it. And I love what Phil's doing with him.
Marty, you tweeted me during the week about the NHL's potential change of the draft process. We're talking about Dahlin, a guy who's come in at 18 and performed well. We've seen other 18-year-olds do it. I'm very much against the idea of delaying the draft to 19-year-olds, but you think there is a benefit. So lay it out for me.
Well, here's the thing. There's only a handful of players that play in the National Hockey League at 18 and that you actually know what they are and how that's going to be able to be what player they're going to become when you're 17 years old, getting drafted at 18. Now, that extra year of development for me would be so beneficial to the Canadian Hockey League players, the players that play in, you know, the WHL, OHL, and Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. Because right now, it's really hard to move ahead. Like, so you're a 16U hockey player. You know, back in the 90s and 80s and 90s, you could play in the OHL and you could, you know, play well at 16 and 17. I have a couple years of OHL experience. The scouts are seeing you. You get drafted and you know, you get your contract and you play pro. Now there's very few 17-year-old hockey players in the juniors that have that effect. It's much more of an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old league. So instead of rushing young players to be 17-year-old and to play in the CHL or to play even in the USHL, you know, you give them that extra year of development. You let them play their 15U year. You let them play their 16U year. You have them play maybe, you know, a tier two or whatever at 17 before they start playing major juniors. And I think that would help developing players and give the team more of an indication of what they're really drafting instead of taking a chance on a player and then 2 years later, you know, that player doesn't even factor in your organization because, you know, you say, well, we didn't realize like he was that type of player. I think it would be better for everybody. And most importantly for me, I think it would be better for goaltenders. You don't see goaltenders getting drafted in the first round anymore or the second round very rarely. Why? Because teams are hesitant to draft goaltenders because at 17, you don't know what you got. At 18 and even 19, then you have a better indication of what a goalie is and what kind of maturity and what kind of development you know, they have. So that would be much better. I know it would be a mess. I know the first year you wouldn't have anybody to draft and it would be kind of a delayed year, but I really like the idea to go to a 19-year-old draft. And if you're really that good at 18, you do what Austin Matthews did last year. You know, go play a year in Europe, go develop over there because, you know, you'll make some money or whatever, but then come back to the NHL for the draft.
But in that case, in the case of Matthews, he would be playing in Europe for 2 years.
No, because Matthews,
also want to move the cutoff date. That's right. That's right.
It was a late birthday. So now the other thing with drafting 19-year-olds, is you could go to a true birth year draft and not have this late birthday situation. Because in youth hockey, if you're a 2001 birth year, you play with the 2001. But now, for the NHL draft, if you're 2001, but your birth is after September 15th, you have an extra year of development. They keep saying that being a late birthday is such an advantage mm-hmm. to players because they have an extra year of development. That's why I would make the draft year a year older, and I would stick to birth year and not have this late draft.
Marty, want to vote out some stuff off of Thanksgiving Survivor?
Oh, I don't know if it's still there, but cranberry sauce, you're gone.
It's already been voted out by Brayton. Yeah. I'll give you the list. Okay. You tell us what you're voting out, all right?
Go.
Here's what's left. Sweet potatoes, stuffing, beer, wine, liquor, family, friends, Jeff Skinner, the Detroit Lions game, the Saints-Falcons game, turkey trot, rolls, pie, the night before, holiday mode, which means, you know, you kind of turn your eyes to the holidays, and leftovers. That's what's left.
You vote out Skinner, Marty. We're not talking ever again. Well, I'm sorry.
I'm
go ahead.
I'm voting off wine.
Wine. Okay.
And I like wine, but Thanksgiving is more about turkey, beer, football, dessert, all of the other things you said. And am I going to see you, Jeremy, at the turkey trot tomorrow morning?
I mean, I don't know if you'll see me, but yeah, I'm going to be there.
Okay, what's your pace? Because I'll look for you in the crowd.
Boy, my pace. I don't know. I run 5 miles once a year. I usually get it done in about 47 to 50 minutes. So
okay.
We'll see. But it's going to be super cold, and I might wake up with the sniffles if it seems really good. I don't think
you look a little peaked.
Like my son is like, but it's going to be like 20 degrees. I don't know, Dad. I don't know if we're going to do it. We did it together last year. And we're doing it again, so I'm like, dude, we're dressing up and we're going. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
You won't even feel the cold. So,
no, you're right, you're right.
Yeah, I'm going to be in that same middle of the pack group, so maybe I'll look for you.
Yeah. And looking at tomorrow's forecast at 8 a.m., it's 15 degrees. Ooh. So we're looking at like 17 to and 19 at race time.
Wind chill, too. Don't forget wind chill.
Yeah, but 15 Celsius is like what? Like 55 Fahrenheit? So yeah. That's great.
So you can run in shorts. Marty, have a great Thanksgiving.
You guys as well. Thanks, guys.